welcome to the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Incandescent Women Magazine, where we are talking with Lori Ellington. I'm here with my partner, Cynthia De Lorenzi of Success in the City. So we are so glad that you're with us this morning. Take it away, Cynthia.
I am so glad you joined us. We, as you know, are beginning a series of incredible interviews with amazing women that we know in our lives that we think you should know, who have incredible insight in the work they do, the lives they live, the things that are happening around us. So we are inviting Lori Ellington, who is the CEO of Zero Point Leadership, to talk with us today. You will find her interview, her written interview, on incandescentwomen.com. But today we're going to chat with her personally. And I want to share as we begin this. So when I had spoke to Hope, when we were talking about who should we talk to, I said, oh my God, we have got to talk to Lori. And I have a certificate of graduation for a master class in the neuroscience of leadership. Mm-hmm. Very proud. And I also have, just so you know, it's work. This is the book. It's not small. And I joined with a number of other CEOs, and we took this very comprehensive course on leadership. And it was fantastic. I mean, neuroscience is amazing. Why don't we just kind of start there, Lori? Tell us a little bit about what neuroscience is.
Yeah, good question. And wow, I love that you just started out with a flashback of our time together in that course where we were both learning during that course. And thank you so much for having me here. I'm super honored and humbled and grateful to be sharing this virtual stage here with a couple of giants. So thank you so much. Neuroscience, real basic. Study of the nervous system. That's really what it is. And that's important. Why? Because our nervous system is really the lens through which we make decisions, choices in life. It's how we navigate the world. And when I refer to the nervous system or neuroscience, often people will think of this cranial brain, the one right here in our skull. But there are actually three. We don't just have one brain. And so neuroscience, it's really expanding. Now, if you talk to a neuroscientist right now in a lab at a university, they're going to say, no, it's this brain. But you can't separate it from the other three brains. And it's the entire nervous system together. And it plays a huge role in us being able to create a life, a community, and a world that we prefer to have.
I love that. I really am interested in this conversation today, especially with Hope too, because Hope was beginning the process of taking another program and studying the science of happiness. And she really wanted to understand what that was underneath. And of course, she began the study and then found out it was all about statistics. And if you've ever taken statistics, which we all have, you realize it's a form of torture in the American educational system. That's all I could figure out it was. It's like, okay, you're going to take in a bunch of data, but we're going to make it really hard for you to interpret and tell people what the data is. And then, so I really am excited to begin to have, okay, that's great. Data's good. We need data. But it's all of this incredible stuff that goes on. Hope does yoga. She's really interested in bringing the body. So I think that's one of the keys to that is aligning the body, aligning the brain, and then the neuroscience underneath, how all of our systems go together. And it's so important. And today, I think that's more critical now than ever before. Hope and I talk about this all the time, that in chaos, there's opportunity, but in chaos, there's chaos. And you feel like all this noise, everything around us. And I'm eager to hear from you where you see us going with this very loud place right now, because I think that's important to understand the science or the integration of all this.
Yeah, that's a good question. So you're right. The noise has been loud, and we're really trying to detect the signal in that noise. And that signal has been subtle, but what's happening right now, that signal's turning up. Right? And we're like, we cannot continue. We can't eat ourselves, Netflix ourselves out of this, workaholic ourselves out of this, right? Like, this signal is too darn loud. And we actually got locked down to listen to it. right? So I think that right now, you know, one of the things I stand for is truth and awakening. And that's what's happening. Our eyelids are being propped up with toothpicks, whether we like it or not. And we have got to pay attention. This is a beautiful time. I love your bringing in chaos. Chaos theory says that it's very, very organized. If you get high enough above chaos, it's actually self-organization. It looks random, but it's not. It's really organized, and that's what we're doing. We are self-organizing, and it feels really messy and really, really difficult, but that's the nature of an awakening and a paradigm shift, as Thomas Kuhn talked about paradigm shifting. We're breaking old molds in what's familiar to us, and that is really disconcerting. Because we like certainty. We're prediction machines. We want to predict the future. And we don't have that right now. So we're really leaning into the unknown. But what's cool about that, if we look at quantum physics, quantum science, which that's what's really been left out of the picture, especially since the Enlightenment period, you know, we really grasp on to that Newtonian worldview, that scientific materialist, that all there is matter, right? All there is this solid world around us, and we can only study that. And the mind, we're going to give that over to the church, really. So we cut the head off the body. I know, Hope, you'll probably appreciate this. We're trying to reattach it, right? But what we learned in this journey is that there's way more that we can't see. And quantum physics tells us that whatever it is that we're directing our attention on, our focus, our observation, that's the reality that we create. It is a smear of possibilities. It's 99.99999% energy all around us. It's a wave of all kinds of things that can happen. Possibilities, so uncertainties. Right? And we're in this field of, oh my gosh, I can no longer just knock on a table and it's not necessarily going to be that table tomorrow. And it's because we're waking up and we're directing our energy and our attention onto new things. And that energy, we know this is science. This isn't mumbo jumbo, new agey, woo woo, solid science. You can look it up, quantum physics. We know that we are collapsing those waves of possibility into the reality that we are having right now. So we have collectively, this is painful to say, but we have collectively created this situation, and it's part of our evolution. That's how we expand consciously, and we become more of who we really are, which is kind, compassionate, caregiving, loving beings that are a part of the earth. not you know, this dog eat dog, survival of the fittest, cutthroat. That is not, we don't even come wired that way. We have sections in our brain that are wired for contribution. Even when we're suffering and when we're in pain, if we give and contribute to somebody who's hurting, we actually have something called, it's called the happiness trifecta. And it's three neurochemicals, Hope knows about it, that it's a cocktail that gets shot off in our brain that make us feel really, really good, even when life is dishing us out a big pile of crap.
Yes,
I'll stop there. That was a lot.
I want to unpack that a little bit if I can. I looked away because there's a quote in your article that I loved. When we asked you about what you see as the future for women, you said, "A mindful and compassionate revolt against the patriarchal supremacy on the horizon." So I want you to talk about that, because I feel like that's a little bit about what you were saying, in addition to discussing that we are all energy and that's all around us. And I think that does sound ungrounded to a lot of people, right? Because you're talking about where our brains are, how we're all interconnected, and that's so beautiful. Before we get into that, though, I want to ground this also in where we are today, right? Because we're putting this out as a podcast and a video. So here we are on August 21st, I think it is, on Friday. We've been in the pandemic since March 20th, approximately, when we were suggested to lock down in California, at least. And here we are trying to figure our way into the future. Schools are opening up this week. 250,000 students are about to travel around already. We've had them open and shut. The economy is up and down. We're not quite sure where that's going, to your point of uncertainty as to the future. But I think I want to pull it back into that idea of the patriarchy. That's really a lot about what Cynthia and I are working on with the Truly Amazing Women Project, which is the result of Incandescent Women and now inviting her fabulous Success in the City Network in. So we're trying to figure out how women can come together, hold hands, be a force that we are, but doing it in a way that we haven't done it before. So bringing an amazing brain researcher like yourself in to as a guide is the mission of at least this initial conversation, because we're gonna wanna play with you a lot more in the future. So all that to say, go back to that point about the future of women and the patriarchy.
Yeah, oh, that's, again, it's a good example of wherever we direct our attention and focus, right? That's a good place for awareness. We're off balance. We see it throughout the ancient wisdom teachings, the yin and the yang, the balancing out of the energies and the forces, the feminine and the masculine. And that has been off balance, and there's been an oppression of just the feminine energy, the divine, whatever it is that you want to call it. And that has created this kind of dumbing down of the intelligence of the human family, because it has to be brought together and balanced. And the dominance, it doesn't mean that we don't need the masculine energy. We absolutely do. That's part of the system, right? But we can't have it off balance, and we can't have a domination. Otherwise, we're going to be in a state of dis-ease, lack of ease, because we're off kilter. Now, look at what's happening right now with our health. Over half of the population has a chronic illness. We have a really serious health crisis on our hands. Mental health, suicide is on the rise. It's we're off balance. Look at our food source. So whatever has been dominating, which is the white male, that has what's been in charge. It's not to say that we don't need that or that's not important. That's a component of the wholeness. So if we're going to come in more whole, then we have got to bring in the voices and the energy that has been suppressed. It just makes sense if you look at systems thinking, systems theory, for example. You can't have voices in the system that aren't elevated and expressed, but you don't want anybody dominating. It doesn't work. It's like if you just look out in nature at how the animal kingdom or the plant kingdom works, it doesn't work like that. You don't have one type of masculine energy dominating. So we're just off balance, and we're in a state of lack of ease, and it's not working together. You can even take it to like the brain. We know that really at the heart of healing and transformation for anything, any type of disorder, any trauma, PTSD, anything, is neural integration. That means the subsections of the brain are working together in harmony and in synchronization with each other. It's the same thing with the autonomic nervous system. So we have to integrate, which is why I love your 8 suggestions that you put on the magazine, Cynthia. Number eight, meditate. Most powerful tool right there. We've got to integrate. And then the same thing with our families. And then the same thing with our neighborhoods. All integration, the same thing with our communities, and then the same thing with the country, and then with the planet. It's a parallel process of integration. We're disintegrated now, and we're dysregulated. And because we're off balance, we've created this lack of ease, and we're just not well.
What do we do to make the change? And I want to hear from Hope, and I want to hear from you, Lori, as okay, we all know what the problems are. They're obvious, they're clear. What do we each do, and what do we call on the women watching this video today that are going, wow, yeah, that's true. But what do we do, big or small?
So I started the Truly Amazing Women Project in 2008, and I'll briefly tell you why. I was living in the exurbs in DC, and all the women in my neighborhood, I looked around and, you know, I'd always lived in urban areas as a reporter. I lived in Miami and San Francisco and grew up in Philadelphia, Washington, DC. And here I was sort of like in Stepford. They called their husband, sir. They asked them permission if they could go get gas in the car. And this was like not long ago. It was like 10 years ago, you know. And I thought, what's going on? Why are these women not feeling the revolution that I've felt my whole life? And at the time, I had a company called Great Handmade Gifts, and I was invited. I made these hand-rolled beeswax candles because actually they were giving me cookies to welcome me. And I'm like, I don't eat cookies. I don't want my kids to eat cookies. I don't even know how to bake cookies. So I started making candles because there's always been something about the light. So somehow I had this up online, greathandmadegifts.com, and I got an invitation to make 100 sets of Shabbat candles for a Jewish organization called Aura in DC. And it was the luncheon that they had this at was at the ambassador's house in DuPont Circle, the Colombian ambassador's house. So I went, and there was Hadassah Lieberman, there was Fran Drescher, there was an amazing Holocaust survivor who shared her story. And I went home and said to my husband, I have to start Truly Amazing Women as a nonprofit to help support women, because these women need bigger voice. So all that to say, the goal of this entire project, which became Incandescent Women Magazine in 2018 as an interactive TV version of it on Incandescent TV and this publication, is to give voice. And I find that as a journalist and a writer and a soul of a poet, that is how I think my role here is on earth, is to raise the voice of everyone and have us use those voices to link together so that we can have these conversations and more. Cynthia knows that my biggest dream, and hopefully we'll do this together here in Las Cruces, is to have retreat centers for women around the country where we can physically, when we can, post-pandemic, come together and unite so that we can. I love her idea of being a political activist where we're really helping women in a very fundamental grassroots way. So that's my hope and prayer.
I love it. Yeah. And bringing together the unity is so important. And so, you know, what comes to my mind is we need more insight into what's happening. And these containers that you guys are creating with the questions are so important. The questions are way more important than the answers here. We need to be exploring and eliciting and evoking big insights, because actually that is what changes the brain from a brain science perspective. There's something called neuroplasticity. It's very plastic in there. And we need new connections and new pathways, which will actually create new connections and new pathways. And then we need bold action, which is what you guys are doing. And that bold action can happen. That can happen in politics, and that can happen right from your living room right there in New Mexico, Cynthia. So we need that bold action, and then we need unity. So my work is helping create the conditions where we can lean into more all three of those. And how I do that is it's almost like the biology of it. Helping people learn how to self-master and engage in really high levels of self-regulation so that they can access the more human, intelligent parts of their brain. And this, we have amazing capacities that we're not even tapping. We've been lied to. The human story is not accurate. We have capacities for self-regulation that we haven't even begun to touch, intelligence, like heightened perception abilities. Things that you're not going to hear on mainstream. However, the special operation forces in the military, Navy SEALs, they access them. And that's how they do the work that they do. I bring that those same human performance, transformational healing tools to populations that don't have voices. Women is one, but also people that are really vulnerable and are not in areas of privilege. So like a lot of the work that I do is in human health and human services as well. Because if we don't get well, we're not going to be able to have that insight. Take bold action, come together and unite. We won't be able to leave our homes. Even if we didn't have a pandemic, if we're not well, psychologically and physically well, mind, body, brain, that's what I call it, integrative neurosomatic. It's really bringing the mind, brain, body, health all together and elevating us so that we have that sharpened perception. Otherwise, we can't problem solve. We can't carve out a new way forward. We can't have those insights. We can't regulate and have the resilience we need to deal with the storm that's around us. We're in a storm, we're in a cyclone right now. We got to step into the eye. And we did not get taught in our society to how do you step into the eye of the storm? We've not been taught those skills. So I'm on a mission to teach those skills, because if we can get in the eye of the storm, we got calm, we got clarity, we can see and create a path forward. We can also be intelligent with where we direct our attention and like engaging in intelligent energy management. This is how we're going to move forward. So I think bringing these platforms is important. And I also think teaching ourselves, how do we get calm and clarity and have those insights that we need to be able to see, you know, we've got to break molds. And that's how that paradigm shift gets launched.
Yeah, as you were speaking, I was thinking about where we are at this moment in time is we're primal. Everything we're doing is at this primal level. We're yelling, we're disassociated, we're angry. I mean, everything's like in this primal place of being and responding. And, you know, and every one of us has been struggling, like, how do you identify? You know things are out of balance, but you just don't know how to even articulate it, and you struggle with that. And you talk to other people who are coming, and you're going, how do you even begin to find that conversation to even align for human connectivity? And I thought, wow, that's really true. And then the other side of that, reaching beyond the primal, because it's like it drags you in. It's like primal is not like you're invited over. What do you think about this idea? It's like you're in this place and everybody has to be here. And it's so stressful and change, because primal is dangerous. You know, it's like all your signals are alerted to danger. You know, something's different out there. So, and the question that really began this entire thing, then what's next project, it's a conversation that Hope and I had about where do we go from here? So I'm going to ask you right now, because that's the most important thing. We cannot end this conversation ever without where do we go from here? What's next for you and where do we go?
We bring what only few people have access to everybody, and particularly the people that have trauma narratives. There's so much wisdom there. I mean, it's not what has happened to us, it's what we do with it. And it's how we make sense of our narrative. And, you know, it's really an alchemical approach. What does alchemy do? It turns crap into gold. And I take a very science, hard science-based approach to that. We cannot turn away from the science of compassion and kindness and mindfulness. It is very clear that that is an elevated, more intelligent state. And we've got to get our children access to those tools. We've got to get our families. I teach child welfare workers these tools, families that are in child welfare these tools. I think since COVID, I have taught 2,500 people some type of breath work. So maybe even more than that. And that's, if we can't, I love it, like what you're really interested in the body. I so appreciate that, Hope, because our trauma narrative is knitted and stitched throughout the cells of what's called the soma. The soma is the body. And we've got to release that. But we're not tuned in to the inner world. We're focused on this external world. And how do we change it and manipulate it? How do I move things around and get people to do things? When really going inward and engaging in self-inquiry, focusing, the body has so much wisdom in it. And this is, I mean, everything I'm sharing, I've been on this journey too. I come from a trauma narrative, super humble beginnings to say the least. And this has been my journey of healing. And I think we need more of that self-inquiry, that self-healing, teaching people these tools of how do I engage in self-investigation? How do I master my nervous system? Because as William James says, the father of psychology, in all education, the most important thing is to make your nervous system your ally instead of your enemy. And we've got to be able to really bring enlightenment. We thought enlightenment was for the mystics and the sages, that, you know, only our, you know, wisdom teachers of the past could achieve enlightenment. I completely disagree. So I'm on a path of really exploring the science of enlightenment. And then how do we bring that to the children that are, again, entering into the child welfare system so that they can take that alchemical approach, turn their crap into gold. And we shift this collective narrative. I think it's, I'm not saying it's the only way, but I think it is one way. We've got to soften and we've got to be hard at the same time. Reminds me of Bruce Lee. I love what Bruce Lee says, be like water. He says, empty your mind, be shapeless, be formless, be like water. Water can flow, it can creep, it can crash. Be like water. We've got to learn these tools. These are our birthright. And I mean, even plant medicine is now coming back on the forefront to connect us to the medicine of the earth. I think that's also what's ahead. The human between plant medicine for expanded states of consciousness so that we can have these insights and take bold movement and unite. And the Human Connectome Project, which is being facilitated by NIH, we're exploring all the connections in the human brain. And we're going to learn all kinds of things about how to treat some neurological problems, psychiatric disorders. I mean, mental training and learning how to master and calm your nervous system, that's how we're going to elevate.
I love that. That's absolutely perfect. So in addition to Incandescent Women magazine, I launched Incandescent Health and Wellness magazine because I really want to talk about the business of mind, body, spirit, soul, or all heart, and how we integrate all of that. So to your point about the seals, the September 2020 cover story for Incandescent Health and Wellness is Don Mann, who's one of those famous seals who has written a ton of books about how to master what he knows, which I love. And also giving voice to Black Lives Matter is another important thing to your point about. We need to raise our voices. So with another partner of mine, Tony Farmer, who's an African-American man in DC, we're launching the Black Lives Matter radio show to do that, similar to what Cynthia and I are doing. So I love that you touched on all those things, that it's about that integration and bringing people into their bodies, right? We have been trained as society, women especially, to please, right? So that we can get what we need. We've only had the right to vote for 100 years. So another book, my publishing company is working on books with women right now. And one of them is my book, Why Divorce? Five Reasons to Leave. And then my financial partner, Rita Cheng in DC, is working on Finance Matters, Finance Rules, Divorce Matters. And so she's sharing how we can be financially solvent as women. You know, no one wants to get divorced, but you need to be smart from go. So taking what you're talking about, that integration and having that trauma in our bodies as women, sort of built into it. So many women have been traumatized on different levels. So taking what you're talking about, the three brains, I want you to talk a little bit before we leave, what that means, right? So, and then how do we take and synthesize all of this? So if my role is to raise voices and give people that platform, and Cynthia's is multitude of opportunities, and especially what I love that I'm hoping that we can do through her with her is to get women more politically active. Because the research shows we don't do it if we don't think we're going to win. Unlike men, they just throw their hat in and come what may. But I think that's shifting too. We know that we have no choice now but to show up, and more women are running for office and winning, right?
Yeah.
Because that's how we do it on the outside. But all that to say, the inside part, it's an inside job, right? We look outside to make it easier, to your points of, you know, drinking, smoking, eating, sexing, whatever. But how do you go in with courage and sit with yourself, which is like why the meditation is so critical, and the yoga, which gets you to the meditation, but just making friends with your body and your nervous system. So talk a little bit about the three brains and how that integrates and how people can take action today with some of the information that you've shared.
Everybody knows about this brain, right? And it is considered the command center. Like, it runs the show, right? Not so much. There's two more brains, and they're actually in the body. And the second brain is the heart, which has really been given a bad rap. It's this soft, squishy thing, kumbaya, it's all about love, right? No, there's literally, and we know this from the field of neurocardiology, that there is a little brain inside our heart. And that's not metaphorical. That is actually literal. It's called the intrinsic cardiac nervous system. It has neurons just like this brain. It thinks, it feels, it makes decisions, and it communicates and tells this brain what to do way more than this brain tells this brain what to do. It produces neurotransmitters. It produces just as much oxytocin as this brain does. And it sends a signal. It sends signals depending on what's going on in the environment internally as well. Up through, there is the longest nerve in the body. It's called the vagus nerve. It's the 10th cranial nerve. It is the mammalian caregiving nerve. It is how we connect with other people, and it's activated when we exercise compassion, care, gratitude, appreciation. It is deactivated when we are angry, irritated, frustrated, right? Now, this nerve sends signals up to this brain, for the heart does, sends signals up through that vagus nerve. And it tells the human part of the brain that separates us from lower primates to light up so that we can make those decisions, take bold action, and unite. Or it says, that brain in there, literally a brain, sends signals up here and says, activate primal. And that's the anger, the frustration, the irritation, all of that. So we're wired to perform at our highest when we're engaged in care, compassion. And this, the vagal tone is ignited when we care and exercise compassion, not when we're exercising, you know, top down command and control, outdated leadership approaches. That's why that stuff doesn't work. And that's why that dominant patriarchal supremacy is actually decreased our vagal tone and decreased our ability. This is our social engagement system. We will disengage when the vagal tone is low. So this cranial nerve connects this brain with this brain and all goes all the way down. It follows the path of the Kundalini in the body. It is the hard science of the Kundalini. It follows right along that pathway, and it connects at our third brain, which is our gut. Now, people are really looking at the research now of the gut-brain axis, right? We now know that mental health, so our mental well-being, is governed largely by what's going on in that third brain, which is our gut. That the intestines in this brain they just separated, you know, throughout the fetal development process. And so most of our neurotransmitters, like serotonin, you know, for depression, we take SSRIs sometimes, those serotonin selective reuptake inhibitors, right? But 95% of our serotonin is produced by the bacteria in our gut. And so if we're not looking at how that brain is impacting our well-being, we're missing a big part of data. It is largely involved in the decisions that we make. So the viscera, the body, the soma, this brain, and then the brain and the gut are sending signals up to this brain, and they're telling this brain what's up. Most of the time, about 85, 90% of the time. This brain, about 10 to 15% of the time, is telling the body what's up. So you're so on point, Hope, with so much wisdom and knowledge is in the body, and we have disconnected from it. We're not listening. We're not getting quiet and listening. You know, and people will say, Lori, I can't meditate because when I sit down, you know, I can't sit still. And I have I know exactly what that's like. I have all these thoughts in my mind, you know, where I'm like, you know, I can't sit for 10 minutes. I'm like, that means you need to sit for an hour. That's what that means, because we've got to learn how to do that. And I think this access, these three brain axis, the data that's unfolding is giving us a lot of information. We can learn, we can increase vagal tone. There's all kinds of ways to hack it. Just activating compassion. The HeartMath Institute has done some great research on this, looking at when we sync up our nervous system, we enter into a state of coherence. And coherence is harmony, integration. That's when that vagus nerve is activated. We've been in incoherence for a long time. And part of that patriarchal domination has put us in an incoherent state. It drops our IQ by between 15 and 25 points. So if we wonder why we stay stuck. So I think part of the work is creating the biological conditions, mastering this earth suit. We have an earth suit here, yeah, right? That we come in. If we don't get some level, we don't have to be perfect, right? I mean, and I still dive into some ice cream and, you know, or wine or, you know, workaholic sometimes too, but more awareness and more mindfulness and more choice points. We don't have very many choice points if we're in this mindless, incoherent state. So what we're learning is there's all this stuff that we used to think was like a good idea, be kind, or, you know, you need to take good care of yourself. Now we're really peeling back the scientific validation of it. Even coherence, we know that this heart-brain connection, when the heart is, it is beating, it produces an electrical signal. We see it on an ECG, right? Well, the brain produces electricity too. We're all energy. This isn't mumbo jumbo. We can measure the electricity coming from the brain, cranial brain, about an inch. We have instruments to do that. The heart though, the heart is 5,000 times more electromagnetically powerful than this brain. And it sends out energy way past the skin, of course it would. And what we've been able to measure now, a 10-foot radius, way more than this one. And it is around us. We all have it around us right now. It's called the human biofield. You can go to NIH and look it up. Lots of studies on it. And it's in a toric shape around us. It's around us right now. And embedded in that field around us, we have instruments, magnetometers, that we can measure the vibrational frequency, just like you can, you know, coming off of an antenna or a radio or whatever. And your thoughts and your feelings are embedded in that field. So when I walk into the grocery store right now, this is a small thing. We're masked up, right? Everybody's primal, as you said. Survival physiology is fired up. Cortisol levels, stress hormones, all that stuff is, we're going. So we're super dumbed down. I try my best to send off kindness in my eyes, compassion and care. Because that's like, if my field, they may not see my mouth, but they feel my field. We used to say it, you know, like in the 70s, like, oh, she got some good vibes or he's got some bad vibes or whatever. You know, now we measure it. We can literally measure that. So we have to get up every morning and ask ourselves, and particularly as women, because we have got a journey ahead of us. What are you broadcasting? Are you broadcasting incoherence, bitterness, anger, frustration? It's okay to feel it and lean into it and learn from it, but we've got to elevate and bring compassion to really ugly behaviors, because that's what's going to increase it's going to literally activate the higher regions of our brain that make us human, help us grit and move through really challenging times.
Yeah, that's what Cynthia says. You know, just send it out there, you know, just ask for, what did you tell me this morning? What was your ask to the universe when you're in conflict?
When I'm really stressed, whether it's with an individual or situation, and I always look at the circumstance and I say, I bless you with love. I release you and let you go. You are free and I am free. And that is an incredibly powerful mantra to repeat. It gives you the recognition that we can be different, but I can still give you blessings of love and I can give you freedom and recognize that in giving that freedom, I have my own freedom. And I think if we can do that, this is probably as extraordinarily stressful a time as I can remember. And I think we together can work to send out messages of hope and healing. And I love what you're saying. You know, one thing, and I love that I never was really aware that we have this 10-foot radiation where we can send out from our heart love and caring. And I think that has been who I have been my entire life as a being. I have always been, because one, I have absolute conviction that every single person on this planet is as important and valuable and worthy of sharing their story as any other one. I don't care if it's a person cleaning the bathroom in a public restroom place, or if it's a person who has the CEO of a company, they're both equivalent. And I think we need to recognize that it is actually, and I share this with Hope all the time, our earth, our systems are really built bottom up, not top down. And I think we've shifted, we're saying the most values at the top, the actual values at the bottom is the people who call and who build the country and the world we live in at the bottom, who are willing to give service that way, which makes things work. And we think that the value of these, you know, the Harvard educated multi-billionaire has more value than the person over here planting seeds or harvesting our garden and our food. Which one's really more important? The person who helps us eat or the person who is a Harvard graduate with a law degree? I don't know. I mean, I think maybe there's a lot of value down at the bottom. And when you live in a place like New Mexico, you see how important the bottom systems are, because it's built very earthwise. It's called the land of enchantment. We come from the earth, I think. I see it here more than I see it up here, which isn't to say both aren't valuable. What do you want to know, Hope? You get the last question today, because I always go on and on. So you get the last question today, Hope.
I feel like I've been talking quite a bit today. A couple of things I want to mention. So I'm my first yoga teacher certification is in Kundalini. So we'll talk about that again with you, Laurie. The power of Kundalini, a lot of that work, the idea that we have 10 bodies and that it works on the chakra system where you can tap into your energy centers that are based along your spine so that you can hit that vagus nerve and you can open your heart, because a lot of us have heart walls, right? We've protected ourselves so much that we can't radiate that energy out, right? So this gets into that kind of that woo-woo stuff that people are like, what are you talking about? That's so weird. I don't understand, right? So we're trying to make that not so confusing and complicated. And my second certification is in yin yoga, where you hold the poses for a long time so that you can break free from that. And it incorporates a lot of the breath work, which, you know, when you really get in touch with your breath, it puts you in touch with all the stuff that you stuffed down. And I always say, be careful when you do breath work, because you need to be guided after. Because all that stuff that you've ignored and eaten, sex, slept, drink away, boom, is up, right? And that's the hard stuff that I think the brain research comes to. So you can identify what's going on. We store it in our body. Now, how do we access it properly and consistently? I mean, when we look at what the pandemic is doing, it's killing the people whose bodies are not well. Right, which the system has told people, right? It's the most calories per dollar. So all that fat and sugar and all that junk is making people obese. And those are the people that are dying first and fastest. And in these underprivileged communities or in minority communities, I mean, we're just seeing this wildfire shoot through society where the people that have been pushed down are the ones who are dying first and fastest. And that's just so fascinating and heartbreaking. And it gives us the opportunity, to your point, what can we do, right? So maybe we'll ask you to give us one tip as we leave, knowing that we're going to continue this conversation in a multitude of ways. What can you tell people today? What actionable item can they do after listening to this interview?
Start, cultivate some type of meditation practice. We need self-mastery rituals, and these are daily. These need to be done daily, most days, every day if possible. But of course, this is not about perfection, right? But cultivate, it's a mindfulness practice. There's so many tools. There's apps out there you can start with. If I were going to recommend an app, I would probably say Headspace, Calm, Insight Timer. Those are some popular ones to give you a little support. Start with 1 minute. If 10 minutes feels like an eternity to you, and add on and try to do it every day at the same time if you can, but don't worry about being perfect. That is one of the most important things that we can do. And if you want to take it a little further, add a compassion mindfulness meditation to it. There's great compassion guided meditation practices on Kristen Neff's website. She's kind of a guru in the neuroscience of self-compassion, NEFF. So there's so many places where we can go to learn how to start tuning into the inner world. Start that practice now. Teach your children how to do it. They pick it up quicker than you think. It could be just a breath awareness, as you talked about. It might be a moving meditation, yoga, for example. It's okay. Get on the mat somewhere. And tune in, get still, and start some type of mindfulness meditation. It could be transcendental meditation. There's so many free resources that you can access to start this practice. I think it's the lowest hanging fruit. It's the most important thing that we can do, and treat it like you do bathing and brushing your teeth. Brush your nervous system every day. Become familiar with the habits of your mind, or they will take over. So I think that is the most important thing. I think the Dalai Lama said, if we taught every 8-year-old how to meditate, you know, that we would, like, violence would disappear, you know, in the next 20 years. And that's not exactly his quote, but basically it's something like that. I think it's the best and easiest, freest, no side effects place to start. And it boosts your IgA. It's a particular immune response, immunoglobulin, that kills bacteria and viruses. So yes, it absolutely is a way to prevent yourself from getting COVID-19 or to help to manage your body to manage it when you do get it. So many, the benefits are there's thousands of studies. I think it's a good place to start, and teach everybody that you know, or at least invite them to consider the practice. But definitely as families, we can start teaching our children. So the adults that I teach, I really help them to try to teach their kids. So a lot of parents I work with actually do it with their children, because they're like, I got kids, you know, what am I going to do? They're pulling on me, you know, needing snacks or whatever, right? I'm like, sit down and do it with them. Practice that with them. There's moving meditation. You can Google that. You can dance. You can move, getting into the body. Lots of options for the folks that are a little jittery.
Even a walking meditation. Cynthia is big on walking. Talk a little bit about your walking meditation.
Oh yeah, every time I have an opportunity, I try to walk with neighbors 3 days a week. But one of the things I do, no matter what challenge I'm feeling, movement for me is really great, because I feel like it integrates the mind, the heart, the kundalini, all of those parts. I feel like when I'm walking, have an opportunity. Plus when you're walking, you kind of get out of the what you're sitting in sometimes. I feel like what we're sitting in. I do meditate every morning when I have an opportunity. It's the first thing I do. I go in and sit down and meditate. I think we should end our conversation here, because I think we could go on another 2 hours, but I know we're going to be talking again. So I'm going to end this recording. We want to say thank you so much to our guest today, Lori Ellington, who is the CEO of Zero Point Leadership, which talks about neuropsychology and neuroscience, and how important that is and where we are today and where we're going in the future. But I think we're going to be talking a lot. Is there any other thing you want to add, Hope, as we close?
Just thank you both. This has been fantastic, and I'm thrilled to have these conversations and get this out into the world so that we can, first and foremost, get people to meditate, calm down, and walk through the world in their best skin.
All right.
That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.